We Don't Want You Here by Sam Giles as told to Christy Giles. My family moved to that little desert town in the middle of September, one of the hottest times of the year. But among the Mormon kids, all I got was the cold shoulder. I was 15, and my family had already moved 10 times, so it wasn't as if I didn't know how to make friends. I tried everything I knew to break the ice, but after 5 months, I still didn't have a single friend who was a member of the church. Luckily, I had lots of good non-member friends at school, but that didn't make it any easier at early morning seminary and church. I actually sat through 5 months of seminary without anyone saying hello to me except my seminary teacher. And there was always one empty seat between me and the rest of my Sunday school class. Tom Jepson, and here we note that the name has been changed, was the ringleader of the Mormon kids. He had never really said anything to me. In fact, I wasn't even sure he had noticed me until one morning when he met me at the seminary doors. "Go home. We don't want you here," he said. I started to laugh. He had to be joking, right? But when I looked at his face, I knew he wasn't kidding. I looked at the others standing a few feet behind him. They didn't say anything, which I figured meant that they agreed. As I turned away, I heard the doors slam behind me and muffled laughing. "I'm never going to seminary again," I swore to myself as I walked the half mile to the high school. "It'll be all their fault." That day seemed like it would never end. After school, I rode the bus to my street, but I didn't go home. I went to my seminary teacher's house. He lived a few doors down from me, and I really liked him. In fact, I liked his whole family. He usually gave me a ride to seminary each morning, so I wanted to tell him not to worry about picking me up anymore. Actually, what I really wanted was some sympathy. Sister Murray answered the door. Brother Murray wasn't home yet, but she invited me in for a drink of lemonade. It wasn't long before I was telling her the whole story. She was sympathetic until I said I wasn't going to seminary anymore and that I might not ever go to church again. "If this was really the true church, people wouldn't act like that," I said. I expected her to plead with me to come back. I wanted her to tell me she would talk to all the kids' parents and get them in a lot of trouble. I thought she'd be ready to do almost anything to keep me active. But instead, she said, "Well, fine. You're not hurting any of those kids by not going. You're only hurting yourself." I was too shocked to say anything. I quickly finished my lemonade and told her I had to go. I stayed away from seminary and church for 3 weeks. My seminary teacher called a couple of times to check in on me. I missed seminary, but I was too proud to admit it. Instead, I kept telling myself that everyone was probably feeling pretty guilty that that made me become inactive. I told myself they would be in trouble on Judgment Day. Still, I couldn't forget what Sister Murray had said about me only hurting myself. And then, one day, when I was reading the Book of Mormon, a scripture caught my eye. "See that ye do all things in worthiness, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if ye do this, and endure to the end, ye will in no wise be cast out." Mormon chapter 9, verse 29. As I read the words, the Spirit filled my heart, and I realized Sister Murray was right. Sure, the kids had been real jerks, but they couldn't keep me away from the church if I was determined to be there. And best of all, they couldn't cast me out in the end when it really mattered. Not if I endured. I got out of bed and set my alarm for 5 a.m. so I wouldn't miss seminary the next day. We lived in that hot, windy desert town for 5 more months, and nothing really changed except my heart. For the first time, I understood that no one was responsible for my salvation but me. I didn't miss another day of seminary or church, and although the Mormon kids were still cold, it didn't matter. I was filled with the warmth of the gospel. Accompanying this article is a sidebar article entitled No Strangers. Unfortunately, there are sometimes people like the boy in this story who don't always feel accepted by others in their youth group. Church is the one place no one should ever feel alone. Is there somebody new in your ward or branch? Take the time to get to know them. Kind words of acceptance foster the kind of feeling that should exist in your youth group. By leaving others out of your circle of friends, you miss the chance to help strengthen their testimony and your own. Be friendly. Be understanding. Be tolerant. Be considerate. Be respectful of the opinions and feelings of other people. Recognize their virtues. Don't look for their faults. Look for their strengths and virtues, and you will find strength and virtues which will be helpful in your own life. Gordon B. Hinckley, TV interview, May 12, 1995. End of We Don't Want You Here by Sam Giles, as told to Christy Giles. Face to face.